It's time now on KROS for the River City Sports Review Show, live from Rastrelli's, 238 Main Avenue. KROS Sports Director Gary Detterman interviews local coaches and student athletes about their sports programs, what happened in last week's game, and what's up next for their teams. The River City Sports Review is brought to you by First Gateway Credit Union with seven convenient locations to serve you. And now with the River City Sports Review, here is KROS Sports Director Gary Detterman.
And good evening, everyone, and welcome to Rastrelli's. It's time for program number two in our 40th season. We got a great room here. We got Sean Johnson. He's going to be going into the River King Hall of Fame. We're going to be talking to him shortly with football. But we're going to start with volleyball. And Jessica Bayless across the table from her, getting ready to begin her fourth year. So how has it changed for you over these 4 years, Jess?
A lot more girls playing volleyball at Comanche.
Well, that is good to hear. Mm-hmm. So did you do a little recruiting, or how'd that come about?
When I started 4 years ago, I really pushed girls playing club volleyball, playing rec volleyball in middle school, and trying to get as many of them to play beyond the regular high school or middle school season. And we have a lot of girls and a lot of clubs around the Quad City area.
Well, that is good. How did you develop an interest in volleyball?
I started playing volleyball in the fourth grade at my Catholic grade school in Milwaukee, Wisconsin. And I was okay at it, but we had a really long season because there's a lot of schools in Milwaukee. So we played twice a week, and it was, you know, August to January. It was a really long season. And then around seventh grade, I started playing club. And then I just got better at it and really loved it.
How important is club volleyball to develop like a high school team?
It's really important because they get a lot more skills training during the club season. Some of these clubs are going 2-3 times a week for practice. They go to some really big tournaments against really big teams from big cities. They travel, so they're getting to see a lot of good volleyball, and it really helps with their volleyball IQ.
So, you know, you're at a small school, and you have a limited number of athletes. And, of course, in Iowa, we play softball in the summer, and you've got other sports as well. So how, I mean, sometimes these kids got to be feel like they're being pulled in a couple of different directions.
They do. I really defer to the in-season sport for during basketball season and during softball season because I would like them to have the same courtesy when it's volleyball season. So, like during softball, if they can make it to open gym when we have open gym, that's great. If they can't because they have a game that day or they have lifting that day, it's totally fine because they're in season. So
your fourth year, so the freshmen are now seniors, but you're telling me you don't have a big seniors group.
I have about four seniors. My one starting senior is Callie Waltz. She's a four-year starter. Her freshman year, she played middle, and then she played a little op. And so this last year, her junior year, she played outside, and she's my kills leader coming back in this year. So she's looking to have a big season.
So what are you hoping for in year four?
Well, we graduated a lot last year, so we're still getting our lineup together and getting our feet under us. We're hoping to be about 500 this year. We've increased every year our win total, so we're hoping that we can be a 500 club this year.
So how's it gone so far?
Oh, we had a rough weekend at Maquoketa, but it was like our first real game where other teams there had at least had one match under their belt. So we got a lot of like our nerves out and our kinks out. And tomorrow we go to Beckman, which is a huge challenge. They're a really good volleyball team. But then our season really picks up after that.
So now, right, you were telling me before we went on air, you've got some tennis players, and they have moved to the fall this year. We're going to be talking to Cindy Rashby, and she's got a good tennis player in the younger Seaweed.
Yep.
Who's also going to be playing volleyball.
She's a good volleyball player too. Yep. So. Yeah, it's been kind of a learning curve trying to share with Coach Schnorr, and we usually like go half and half. He gets them for half the practice time, and then I get them for half the practice time. If we don't have anything going on, like the next day, and he's got to meet, I usually let them, you know, I'm okay with them playing or going to tennis practice for the whole time to prepare, and he does the same for me. So we've been really sharing them, and it's like I said, it's been a learning curve, but we've been making it work.
You mentioned Beckman. Who else is good? And, of course, you're in the River Valley Conference. You got the two divisions. And it always seems like the North Division is a little stronger in, you know, basketball and volleyball. So how's it looking?
We have a lot of good volleyball teams. We have Beckman, who's ranked. Anamosa is ranked. Northeast is a really good volleyball team. We have some good teams. And then on the south side, we play like Wilton and Tipton, and Regina's on the south. So it's always the same big names that are always really good programs.
So here we are just getting into September, so the season is really just kind of getting underway.
Yes.
Is there a point of the season where you're thinking, oh, my gosh, we're starting to turn the corner?
Usually it's probably like, I would say like the third week of September, that's really when, you know, we kind of hit our stride. Last year we started out of the gates pretty strong, and then we got kind of hit by the injury bug. And it's usually after like this week where we usually hit our stride about the third week of September.
Who's all helping you with volleyball program at Command?
My coaches.
Yeah.
I have Amanda Sinus as my assistant coach, and she has years of experience. She coached with Coach Massey at Clinton High for a really long time. Cam Carstensen is my JV coach. She's a Comanche grad, and she's coached club for a number of years, so she's got a lot of experience. And Macy Mulholland is my fresh stop coach, and she's a Clinton grad and played club, I think, and she coached club for sure. So,
okay, well, we're going to try and catch up with you every other week, so we'll talk to you in a couple of weeks.
All right, sounds good. Thanks, Gary.
Okay, back with more on the River City Sports Review.
If you're in the market for a new car, it's time to let First Gateway Credit Union put you behind the wheel of your next vehicle. They offer competitive rates and flexible terms. New and used vehicle rates start as low as 5.35% fixed APR. Call 243-4121. Visit firstgateway.org or stop by any of their 7 convenient locations. Savings federally insured by NCUA. APR is annual percentage rate. Other rates and terms available. Subject to credit approval. Other restrictions may apply.
Hi, it's Sarah at Classic Body Works, Clinton's go-to full-service auto body shop. We've been family-owned and operated for 40 years. Our state-of-the-art facility and certified technicians can repair all makes and models. From potholes to parking lot mishaps, we don't only restore your vehicle, but we also restore your peace of mind. Stop in today for a free collision estimate or call to schedule a wheel alignment or oil change, 563-243-2688. Again, that's 563-243-2688.
Community, a word so simple, so human, a word that in itself connects us with one another. At Park Vista, community is created by one thing, the people within it. Community is planting flowers with your neighbor and feeling proud as you watch them grow. Community is telling jokes at dinner and laughing until your belly hurts. Community is uniting together when things get tough. At Park Vista Comanche, community is more than just a place. It's a feeling. Call now to schedule your tour. Park Vista, a senior living community in Comanche. Call 563-447-7447.
Welcome back, everyone, to Rastrelli's, and, of course, on the River City Sports Review. You're going to go to football now with Northeast head coach Alec Anderson. So you had that first varsity game as a head coach. How'd it go for you?
Well, you know, just from the time perspective, because we were on the rain delay and lightning delay, about everything that could go wrong when you're thinking about staying on a timeline did, where we'd be told, hey, 10 minutes, we're going out, then they bump it back 10 minutes. So it was trying to, I guess, get those first time jitters out, and then when are we taking the field for warm-up, knowing that we'd have 30 minutes ready to go. And I felt like we came out ready to go. We scored on the first drive, and yes, they scored on the second one, but we came back and made it 14-7, and it went pretty well, I thought.
Now, do you play a JV or freshman game prior, or is it just varsity only one on your night?
Our goal, and it's kind of going to be district-wide, and we're doing this at Maquoketa on Friday, is to play 2 quarters of JV.
Okay.
In years past, we've kind of played 2 competitive quarters, and then when you kind of are like, we've got to pull some of these guys up for varsity, quarter limits, it was not very good football. So we kind of made the executive decision to say we can play two really competitive quarters, and we got one full one in on Friday and then barely started the second one before lightning delay. And that it went well. I mean, our JV guys, I think we were up 28-6 in the first quarter with those JV guys, so that was excellent to see them getting some success because many are going to have to step into varsity roles next year.
Yeah, I mean, how are the numbers out there?
We just had a freshman. I'm never going to turn away a freshman no matter when they want to come out. We had a freshman ask me, hey, is it too late? And I go, nope, come on in. So I believe we're at 37 now, which is pretty good. Few of them never played any football before, and that are upperclassmen. So they're nice in practice and picking things up, but it might be a little while before they see some varsity time besides maybe some special teams.
Durant 32-27 was the final. Was it kind of a back-and-forth game, Alex?
You know, it was. I feel like our goal was stopping the run, priority one. And then at halftime, we kind of even made it a little bit more of a priority because two of their running backs went out in the first half with leg injuries, lower leg injuries. And we're like, all right, let's stop the run. It's going to be McKinley up the middle. And they play action, and they hit gassed a couple times for some long gains and touchdowns on some good moves by him and maybe not as great a coverage as we could have had switching to a little man-to-man. So they were able to score in some ways quick, and our drives were a little longer and more methodical.
You know, visiting with you before we went on air, it sounds like your quarterback did pretty well for you.
You know, we knew what we were going to have with him. And then his leadership kind of really took over. He was making excellent reads, escaping the pocket when he needed to, but still looking downfield to throw it to either Milk or Cale Cleaver. And he played really well throwing it. I believe he was 26 for 36 for 300 and ran for 85.
You know, he's a strong kid. So, I mean, he's a little different runner than what you've seen from Kramer, who was kind of shifty. I can't imagine he's real shifty. He's probably more of a run-into-you kind of a guy.
He is. He does have some movement in his hips and can juke some guys, but his best case is if he can lower his shoulder and try to get what he can, and he did quite a bit of that on some outside run plays where he saw the seam and he went, and rather than be the nail, he was the hammer.
Okay, there you go. How was the rest of the running game besides your quarterback?
Well, just based on how our running game is, it's a lot of run-pass option. And so he was making those reads. So our other running backs, Carson DeBoe, and we had Paxton Shannon, a freshman, they took a couple carries, but I wouldn't say significant yards. I think DeBoe was around 30. But he was reading, the ends crashing, pulling it, and just going. And so that's what we wanted to see out of them.
You're going on the road now. You play Maquoketa, who lost to Anamosa 20-7. What did you see from that game?
It's hard to tell because we played Anamosa last year. I know they lost quite a bit, but they're a big physical team with great linebackers. So Maquoketa didn't run the ball well against them. I don't think they're going to just completely abandon the run game against us. They can throw it around quite a bit, pretty good quarterback in Streets, and then a pretty good wide receiver. And so it's going to come down to probably stopping Streets and their wide out, and then hopefully just handle the run the best we can.
Offensively, what would you like to see from your team?
We did some things that checked off some boxes on my list. One of the big things that we didn't check off was we had one turnover, they had none. So it kind of goes offense and defensively. We need to take care of the ball and force some turnovers. We also didn't win the penalty battle. So it's kind of making sure we're keeping those kids under control. Never going to be one to blame officials. But take care of the penalties. And then we did have more first downs. Like I said, I think we played well enough to win. But those two things, we got to take care of and score in the red zone.
All right. Well, best of luck at Maquoketa. We'll catch up with you next week.
Appreciate it.
Back with more on the River City Sports Review.
Custom Pack, a great place to work and an active community supporter, is proud of our River Kings and Queens. Custom Pack is a locally owned company working to improve the quality of life in Clinton, DeWitt, and the surrounding area, and is currently hiring in all of their manufacturing facilities. Custom Pack employees work in clean and safe manufacturing plants that produce plastic blow-molded products used by all people around the world. The ingenuity, dedication, and effort of our employees has resulted in nearly a half a century of success. That success is shared by the entire workforce through meaningful profit sharing, great wages, some of the region's best benefits, and a friendly team-based work environment.
Shop local online at QuintonPrinting.com. Order from the convenience of your own home. Are you ready to celebrate? Begin with unique graduation, wedding, shower, and all party invitations from Quinton Printing. You can customize one of our templates to your style or create your own unique design. Stop in at Quinton Printing and we can help you design your invitation or shop online at QuintonPrinting.com. 1402 Roosevelt Street or call us at 242-7895.
Welcome back, everyone, to Rastrelli's. It's a real pleasure to have across the table from me the Clinton High School Athletic Hall of Famer now, Sean Johnson. I've known Sean for a long time. He's the same age as my youngest son, Nolan, so I've seen this guy play baseball for a long time. You're getting in not only because of baseball, Sean, but you're pretty good in track and field as well.
I could run a little bit.
Put the microphone up there a little closer.
Yeah, I could run a little bit.
So tell me about when you got the call. What was that like?
It kind of caught me off guard. Definitely wasn't expecting a call like this to come from Clinton High. So it kind of caught me off guard, which doesn't happen very often. So it was a good surprise.
So baseball was your main sport.
Correct.
In high school. What were some of the highlights for the River Kings for you?
Oh, God, I don't know. We had pretty good teams playing varsity all 4 years. I played with some really good guys that played college baseball ahead of me that were good. Good guys to look up to and kind of carried that along the way. We had some good competitions and played good baseball. So it was a lot of fun all the way around.
So you went to Iowa State. Talk a little bit about that decision and the recruiting process.
So the recruiting process, I went to a couple camps my sophomore and junior summers, and they had reached out to me. They called me up one day and said, hey, we want you to come out for a visit. I went out for a visit. They offered me a scholarship. And then come later that year, I ended up getting drafted by the Rockies. So then I had another decision to make. The Rockies wanted me to go play baseball at Indian Hills, but I chose to go play Division I baseball in the Big 12.
That had to have been a little bit of a difficult decision, I would think.
It was, because it was definitely going to be a draft and follow type thing. Obviously, you go to JUCO ball and you can get redrafted after your freshman year. Or if you go to a four-year school, you have to wait until after junior year. A lot of options to weigh, but I figured the competition and the development that I was going to get at a Division I school would be probably better for me.
So the Colorado Rockies reach out to you. So obviously they knew about you. There's scouts out there. Did you know when you were playing that there were scouts in the crowd?
So I had gone to a couple MLB camps those summers. So they had been in contact prior. I knew the first game of my senior year, they told me that they were going to have one there. And I just so happened to strike out 17 against DeWitt that day.
So I should tell our listeners, yeah, your pitching was primarily your long suit.
Yes, I was a pitcher and I also did play shortstop, but pitching was my go-to.
You went to Iowa State. Charlie Bigwood, former River King, was also there. You get the word they're dropping the program. Yeah. Talk about that.
We had no idea it was coming. It's kind of like out of the spur of the moment type thing. We get a phone call that we had to meet at the auditorium about 4 o'clock, and then they dropped the ball on us. So then we're kind of like, they told us we could stay, but why are we going to stay if we can't play baseball?
So where'd you end up going?
I ended up at Ambrose for the next 4 years, and I played. I was a starting pitcher at Ambrose for 4 years.
Did you ever get drafted again?
I did not. I went to a couple camps, but just didn't get the call.
How tough was it to give up the sport?
I didn't. It's kind of funny you say it. So I didn't really give up the sport until probably about 8 years or 4 years after college. I still played some semi-pro ball, and I actually coached at Davenport West High School for 7 years. Now I'm now coaching my 10U son and his travel ball team. So I guess I really haven't given it up.
And of course, got to mention track and field, a state champion, Drake champion in the 110 hurdles. How'd you end up upon the hurdles?
A great question. I was fast, and I tried it out one day, and I was like, I think I can pull this off. And it's actually one of those things that you have to work at to get better at. And I had great coaches, Coach Cox and Coach Maimon, throughout my track career, even Coach Dennis. They pushed me and pushed me and pushed me, and I relished it.
And technique is so important in the hurdles. You mentioned you were fast, but you still have to have technique to get over those hurdles.
You still have to be coordinated, jump, and then most good hurdlers are three-steppers. So, I mean, think about how far a hurdle is and taking three steps in between and jumping 10 hurdles. You got to have some timing and some technique down.
So what was more exciting, winning Drake or winning state?
I'd say winning Drake, because Drake is a whole state of Iowa thing, where state is just your 4A class. Drake has all the best hurdlers from the state of Iowa in it, so I think Drake was probably the best.
And you told me you had no interest in the 400 hurdles whatsoever.
Nope, that is a race I will never wish anyone to have to run.
You ran in relays. Talk a little bit about that.
Yeah, I was a 4x1, 4x2 anchor leg for, I think, my sophomore through senior year. Good experience running against Marquis Simmons that played at Davenport North and played football at Iowa and Nebraska. Good experience. Made a lot of good friends. Even still talk to some of them now. Some of them are coaches down in the Pleasant City area.
So did you think about track at all collegiately, or was it always going to be baseball?
So funny story about that. When I went to Iowa State, the Iowa State coach actually asked Lyle Smith, who's the head coach for Iowa State baseball at the time, asked if I could come to a couple practice. And my baseball coach said the only line he'll be jumping is the white line going up to the pitcher's mound. So that kind of put a kibosh to that.
Oh, Sean Johnson going into the Athletic Hall of Fame. That is coming up this weekend. So have you got your speech plan? What are you going to say if you get up there?
Actually, I'm only going to be there on Friday. My son has baseball games on Saturday.
Okay.
So I'm not going to be able to attend on Saturday, but my parents will be there to accept for me.
Okay, that is very good. Thank you so much. Great to
You're
see
welcome.
You again.
Thank you, Gary. Good to see you.
All right, back with more on the River City Sports Review.
9 out of 10 individuals who struggle with nicotine, alcohol, or other drug addictions started using these substances before turning 18. Young people who regularly receive information about the dangers of drugs and alcohol from their parents are up to 50% less likely to engage in substance use compared to those who don't receive such guidance. As a parent, you hold the greatest influence over your child's choices. Start the conversation early and keep it going. Talk. We hear you. This message is brought to you by the Gateway Impact Coalition.
At Snell Zorning Funeral Homes and Crematory, pre-planning your funeral arrangements allows a less stressful environment, provides a record of your wishes, relieves your survivors of emotional and financial burden, and allows surviving family members to concentrate on the memories of a lifetime rather than the details surrounding death. This is Mary Rupp, Family Service Counselor at Snell Zorning Funeral Homes and Crematory. For more pre-planning information, give me a call at 242-0252. I can help.
Welcome back, everyone, to Rastrelli's visiting now with Nate Herrick, head coach of the Clinton River Kings. So, Nate, I had a chance to listen to a little bit of the broadcast coming back from Solon. You guys had the delay. What's that like when you have a delay? I mean, the sophomore game actually ended up being canceled or called.
Yeah, so we ended up calling the sophomore game, the fresh off game at halftime. And we were in the locker room. We had just gotten there a little bit ago. For those of you that don't know, DeWitt, their visiting locker room that we are in is a tiny, tiny space. I was actually not up there. Coach Peterson was up there as I was talking to their AD when the storm really rolled in. So I was down in their equipment shed down by their baseball field. So I hung out down there. I did make my way up there, but, I mean, 2.5 hours in the locker room is a long time to sit. I mean, we were projected to kick off at around 7, but we were in the locker room about 5:30, didn't kick off until 8:15. Took the field at 7:45, so it was just the kids were anxious, you know, the first game jitters.
Yeah.
They wanted to get out there and play, and then we're like, no, you got to sit here, and we came out a little bit flat.
That is so tough, and boy, they struck right away.
They did. You know, they wanted the ball, they won the toss, they took the football, they marched right down the field, had some big runs, open it up, and they got us on one. We were in the position, we just didn't make the tackle. And then, you know, we had a nice counter with the pass from Connor to Jordan Gruen in the open field. Just didn't tuck the ball away, fumbled it. They recovered, scored 2 plays later, and that's tough right there.
And talk a little bit about Connor Schrader, a quarterback. Looked like he had a pretty decent ball game, had a nice touchdown run.
Yeah, he had a nice run. There was a nice, you know, with this new offense that we're running, he made a lot of nice reads, not a nice pulls. So he had a lot of yards rushing. Did a nice job of managing the game. We told them all night that they're going to give us the flat, the check downs. He was taking those. We were getting the yardage. We were moving the football, moving the chains, and we just couldn't string it together when we needed to.
The running game, I would imagine you'd like to see a little more out of that.
Yeah, that was coming along at times, but then we got down so much that we, okay, try to get back into it. We got to try to pass it. So hopefully this week we can, you know, we can stay a little bit closer on the scoreboard or be ahead at that point so we can rush the football a lot more like I would like to, manage that game that way, manage the clock, and stay in front of the chains as well.
So how has practice gone so far this week?
We've had a good 2 days. Monday we brought them in. We do our install. Then Tuesday, Wednesday, we really get after it. I mean, we're going live on Tuesday and Wednesdays. I mean, we're moving the football. Coaches are spotting in. We're tackling all the way to the ground. Doesn't matter who you are. We got to get these guys ready to play football. So, I mean, the energy has been good. The kids' spirit's been good. We're just trying to get them to believe in themselves, believe in each other, and believe in what we're doing.
Well, that is good to hear. Now, of course, we got Davenport Central coming up. I was looking back at my sheet from last year. That was a wild game down at Brady Street. Coach.
One of the longest football games I've ever been a part of.
It was long, yes.
I mean, it was on a Thursday night. So, I mean, shoot, we got back at 11:30, I think. Yeah. Our guy Dame got done at 11:30, shoot, because I think they put up 51. We scored 40, 41 or 42. I mean, it was a back-and-forth ball game. They got up big. We battled all the way back, and we just ran out of gas. I mean, it was a hot night, first game of the season. Everybody's cramping up. You know how that goes.
Yeah, that was an amazing ball game. There's no doubt about that. So talk a little bit about Davenport Central. They had a tough opener with the Buick Senior. It looked like they didn't do much offensively against the Rams.
No, they struggled. Their the Buick Senior's defense did a very nice job of getting home with just their interior defense alignment, which allowed them to drop back in coverage. I mean, this is a normal Davenport Central team where, you know, they're a little bit not as stout up front, but their skill guys they can put it on you. So we got to be ready for that on offense. Defensively, they're going to sit back, and they got some athletes that can play D-line, and we got to be ready to handle that up front. That's going to be big for us. So this game, like every other football game, is going to be won and lost in the trenches.
So how are the trenches looking for us?
We've had a really nice job. These guys have really bought in. We've been really trying to clean a lot of things up that we saw on tape that we thought we weren't making those mistakes. But a lot of these guys, like I was telling our staff on Sunday when we met, is they haven't played a lot of football for us. You know, like some of these guys, like a Dylan Totes, yeah, he's a senior, but he was injured last year, didn't play any snaps for us. So he's really a junior. He's got to sort through some things. Same thing with a Sloan Weaver on the offensive line, like didn't play a lot of reps. You know, Brady Kurtz played linebacker for us last year. Now he's playing defensive line. You know, he's got to go through some growing pains, and hopefully we're getting those growing pains out of us and we can settle in and play some football.
What about this ball game coming up? What's it going to take to get that win?
You know, I talked about it. We got to be able to stay in front of the chains, manage the clock, hold on to the football, not beat ourselves like we did last week, and we just have to be – we have to win up front.
And finally, you're going to have the 75 football team there.
Yeah, it's going to be a lot of fun. I mean, I was talking to Mr. Bear earlier today, and they got a lot of people coming back. Sounds like a lot of those guys are getting in town tomorrow night. They got to get together tomorrow night, and then they're coming to the high school on Friday, and then they're around for the ceremony again on Saturday morning.
All right. So they're going to be in town. Do you think they'll catch a little practice tomorrow or what?
I don't know. We'll see.
Yeah.
They're welcome anytime. So.
That'll be great. Hey, Nate, thanks so much for
thanks,
the time.
Thanks, Gary.
All right, back with more on the River City Sports Review, brought to you by First Gateway Credit Union. Make waves with smart savings at First Gateway Credit Union. Open a 6-month CD and earn 3.85% APY, or a 12-month CD and earn 3.90% APY. Stop in one of their 7 locations, Command, Clinton, DeWitt, Holden, Morrison, Sterling, or Prophetstown for more details. APY is annual percentage yield, limited-time offer. Rates subject to change without notice. $1,000 minimum deposit required. Other rates and terms available. Early withdrawal penalties apply. First Gateway Credit Union, federally insured by the NCUA. Make yourself at home with a mortgage from First Gateway Credit Union. Whether you're a first-time buyer or looking to refinance, they're here to help. Rates start as low as 5.473% APR. Savings federally insured by NCUA. First Gateway Credit Union is an equal housing lender. APR is annual percentage rate. Other rates and terms available, subject to credit approval. Other restrictions may apply. First Gateway Credit Union, member NCUA.
At Eastern Iowa Community Colleges, we don't just talk about success, we deliver it. Hear it straight from our students.
EICC helped me, a nervous and unsure first-generation student, thrive in a college environment.
EICC has close ties with local employers. I made connections and landed a job immediately after finishing my classes.
Eastern Iowa Community Colleges was the right fit with their close location, established transfer programs, and student support.
Thanks to EICC, I can chase my dreams.
Their success story started with a single step. Yours can too. Apply now at EICC.edu.
Welcome back, everyone. Ristrelli's going to stay with football. Patrick Lohr, head coach of the Fulton Steamers. Patrick, before we get into the Steamers, I want to talk a little bit about your son.
Yeah.
Patrick, he's at Augustana, senior now, right?
That's it, senior year, exactly.
So what has his thoughts been at Augustana? He hasn't seen a lot of playing time, but he's all in football.
Oh, he just loves it. He went in there with a really good attitude, and he the first 2 years he played JV quarterback and did a nice job, and then kind of saw the writing on the wall and understood where his role was, and went to the coaches and talked to them about what his role was going to be. And right now he's still obviously a quarterback, but he's more of almost like a coach quarterback, where he's helping with the game plans and he's wearing a headset on the sidelines. He's doing a lot of signaling, and he just loves the game. And he has for a very long time, ever since I can remember. You know, he was our ball boy in fourth grade on up till freshman year. And just a guy that's been around the program. He helped coach us this summer with us, did a really good job with them. And after graduation, hopefully he can land some sort of teaching job in our district and be on our staff next year.
So how fun would that be?
That's our plan, and hopefully it works out, but you never know. But, yeah, he's a student of the game, loves the game, and loves everything about it.
So now, has he had the opportunity to play some? Has he gotten out on the field at all for the Vikings?
Yeah, he has. His first 2 years, he was playing quarterback and did a nice job. I mean, it wasn't like he wowed you or anything like that. But he did a very nice job. And he's just, like I said, a student of the game. He understands where the ball needs to go. And he does that now from the sidelines. And it's kind of neat to see the quarterback come off and they go to him. And he talks to him. The quarterback coach talks to him. And it's just neat. It makes you really proud to see. And then when I talk to him about football, he knows a lot more than I do now. It's incredible. I feel like I didn't teach him anything.
How many quarterbacks do they have at Augustana?
They have eight.
Oh, I was going to say.
Yeah, that's a lot. It's a big full room, that's for sure.
Oh, that is amazing.
Yeah.
So they had the opener, Eastland, not the win. They got the loss, unfortunately. Talk about the game, Coach.
Well, you know, we knew they were going to be a good, solid team. They're coming off a playoff run last year, and they had some guys back, the real good key guys back, and we just weren't able to move the ball offensively. Defensively, I know the score, we gave up 52 points. Some of that was in the special teams area, but honestly, our defense wasn't too bad. We were in good spots. We're trying a little something different on defense this year under our new defensive coordinator, Zach Ryder, and we're flying around a little bit more. And, you know, we just missed a gap here. We were a little late or a little wide there. We showed them in film, and we're also very young. We've got a lot of young players playing. We've also got some of our older kids are young experience-wise. So that's a tough combination to go into a very experienced team like EPC that's got November, mid-November on their mind. And, you know, we didn't get off to a great start, and then it just kind of snowballed from there. But in the second quarter, with 4 minutes to go before half, it was 16-7 ball game. We were right in it, and then just kind of the floodgates opened.
Mm. How important is it to get that experience on the field? And then once you had that experience, to maybe look at some film?
Oh, it's huge. And that's why, you know, we share the film with our guys over the weekend, but we come in on Monday, then we watch it, because we all know what we need to do. Like, we know as coaches how to watch film. Kids, basically, when they watch film, they just watch themselves. And I don't blame them. I did the same thing. But we needed to show, especially that end zone view of where defensively we weren't fitting the gaps correctly. You know, we were moving, we were playing hard, we were doing all that. We just weren't where we needed, quite where we needed to be. And we're getting closer to that. And, you know, we got a really tough opponent this week, but it's kind of like baby steps with these guys. And it's just going to be, like I said, baby steps and just get better and better each and every day. And I think towards the end of the season, we're going to be playing pretty good football.
You know, and that's something your team's always done, has always been there for you every week.
Yeah, that's the thing. And we've got a bunch of good kids that love the game and they want to play and they want to be successful, but it's not easy. You know, like we always say, that other team prepares, that other team scouts us, they run plays. And you just have to understand it's a very hard football. Football is a very hard game to conquer and to dominate. And, you know, if you get a break here or there, it obviously helps, but you've got to earn basically everything you get. And last week we didn't earn anything, and hopefully this week we can. But our kids are seeing it, and our young kids are getting it. And it's just going to, like I said, I think we'll be playing better by the end of the season, that's for sure.
I know you were concerned about that first part of the schedule, and it doesn't get any easier with UPEC. No. Their last year in your conference.
Yes, yes, and I told them I'd pack their bags for them. they're a 3A football team in our 1A conference, and they made it to the quarterfinals last year in the state of Illinois, so they're a very good football team, and they run the ball, they're physical, they're big up front. You know, a lot of teams that we play are bigger than us up front. But you know, we'll hold our own and do what we can do. They're I would say not as good as their 3A quarterfinal team last year, but they're pretty solid and they'll fit. They're going to the Big Northern with Byron and Stillman Valley, and they're going to fit in right pretty good with that conference next year. But hopefully we can get out of there with a win on Friday. It's our home opener. We'll have a big crowd. The field looks great already, and we're excited about that. And really just an opportunity to get better and to get some more experience on film so we can learn from it and get better.
All right. Appreciate the time. Best of luck to you.
Yep. Thank you very much.
All right. Back with more on the River City Sports Review.
Circlebaugh Home Appliances in downtown Clinton is holding a back-to-school sale with great laundry deals. As your wash load increases, see Circlebaugh's for fine quality laundry pairs from LG, Maytag, and Speed Queen. For your other appliance needs, Circlebaugh's features name brands like Whirlpool, Amana, Frigidaire, and KitchenAid. Back-to-school savings on laundry pairs now at Circlebaugh Home Appliances, 225 5th Avenue South. And you can always visit circlebaughs.com.
Busy mornings, backpacks, and lunchboxes, we get it. That's why Citizens First Bank makes banking easy. Set up automatic bill pay, get alerts, and manage your money on the go. It's banking that fits your life. Your money in motion at Citizens First Bank. Smart, secure, and always with you. Visit gocfb.bank. Member FDIC.
Welcome back to Ristrelli's, visiting with Dustin Coit. He's waving to one of his assistant coaches right now.
Yeah, Coach Buckley, I'm getting video too. It looks like, yeah.
That is great.
I know.
Hey, Coach, you opened up with a win. Tipton 17-6. Tell us about the game.
Yeah, well, we didn't get started until about 8:40 because of the lightning delay. So that was my first experience with a delay before the game. I've been in games where we delayed during and all that. So we got out to warm up. And about 2 minutes into warm-up, we got sent off because of lightning and got told about three different times that we were going to come out, and those times weren't right because more lightning struck. But it was just different trying to keep the kids focused, trying to keep, you know, we didn't really know when they was going to start either. So plus they were at the school at 5:15 for these primers we do. So they've been at the school for over 3 hours before we even took the field. So it was just different and a unique start. But the first opening kickoff they received and they fumbled it and we recovered it. And we scored about five plays later to go up 7-0. And then we scored again second quarter, 14-0. And then we kind of had a blown coverage, assignments there late in the second quarter, and they scored their touchdown then. But yeah, solid first half. Second half kind of just – we kind of just hit a lull. I don't know if it was because – just the delay and all that,
late.
But it was getting late. The lights went out on us because the lights were on a timer at 11 o'clock, and that went out. The game's still going.
On a timer?
Yeah, it was on a timer. It went out, and it took about 15 minutes for it to come back on because the lights had to cool down before they warmed back up. So a lot of unique things happening. But I mean, our kids responded and came out, played really hard, and had a nice night.
So you kicked a field goal?
We did, yep. We got a solid kicker, Josh Lyles. He made a 25-yarder. He's good from 35 at least in practice. Even he can get maybe 40 in practice, and with no defense, he's probably pushing like a 45-yarder. He's got a big leg, and Really nice weapon to have.
That is a nice. So on kickoffs, he kicking it into the end zone for you?
Not consistently, no. He's getting to about the 10. Struggled a little bit in the kickoff last week. He's getting to about the 15, 20. But it'd be nice if he could get it there. But, he's got a strong enough leg. It's just not consistent yet.
Who impressed you on your team?
Yeah, I thought Tyson Graves had a nice night for us running the ball. He only had about 60 rushing yards, but he really, really hit the holes hard, found the holes. He struggled with that a little bit last year, kind of new position for him and finding the holes and hitting them. He did a nice job with that. Defensively, Kai Seibel was really good. It was probably the best game I've ever seen him play. He's coming downhill, making tackles. Led us in tackles on Friday night as well. So
now he's a junior, right?
He's a senior.
Oh, he's a senior.
Yep. But our as a whole, our defense played really well all night. We made a great play. We forced four turnovers and did a lot of nice things.
Coming up now, you go to Bellevue. They got a win over Cascade, 22-20. What you see from that game?
Bellevue is going to be physical. They play hard. They blitz about 63% of the time on defense, so they're bringing pressure from just about everywhere. We've done a lot of blitz pickup stuff this week in practice with our O-line, just trying to make sure everyone's on the same page and communicating. They have a kid that Keenan Kilberg, he had 100 catches last year for like 1,600 yards receiving. They go to him a lot. He's really good, fast kid. We got kind of a plan to kind of try to keep him in check a little bit, and hopefully we can do that.
Those are big numbers.
Yeah, that's 100 catches for high school kids is pretty impressive. They played 10 games last year, so he had 10 catches a game. But
so who's slinging the ball to him?
His Boniface is his last name. Pretty good arm. He reads the field pretty well, too, so... they got a couple other kids, too, that he can go to. So we're going to be on our toes. They're good athletes, and we got to be ready to go.
He must be a big kid because there's a Boniface who's an offensive lineman at Iowa State.
he's about 6'4". So, yeah, he's a good-sized kid, yeah.
What do you hope in the ballgame? What's going to be important for you guys to win?
Yeah, well, number one, we got to make sure we contain their number two and that Kilberg kid. And I think we got to clean some stuff offensively. We had some bad snap situations and just kind of not executing as well as I think we can on the offensive end. And defensively, if we bring that same energy and effort we brought Friday night, I think we're going to be fine.
Should be a good ball game. You get to go on the road, and hopefully the weather will be fine.
Yeah, I hope so.
All right,
yeah,
Justin, yeah. Thanks so much.
Thanks, Gary.
Back with more on the River City Sports Review. Good for a new car. It's time to let First Gateway Credit Union put you behind the wheel of your next vehicle. They offer competitive rates and flexible terms. New and used vehicle rates start as low as 5.35% fixed APR. Call 243-4121. Visit firstgateway.org or stop by any of their 7 convenient locations. Savings federally insured by NCUA. APR is annual percentage rate. Other rates and terms available. Subject to credit approval. Other restrictions may apply. Welcome back, everyone, to Rastrelli's and Cindy Rashi. Welcome to the program. You guys are now playing in the fall. I never got an opportunity to visit with you. You come into the studio every once in a while. But what's it been like so far in the fall?
Well, first off, thank you for having me, Gary. And I want to say we've been having a ton of fun. We've just gotten in a lot of tennis crammed into a very small amount of time.
So you played in the spring. Of course, mm-hmm. The girls play a lot over the summer.
Yep.
And here they are again in the fall. Are they getting burned out at all, or are they embracing it?
I think they're embracing it. It was tough. We started August 4th, and 3 days later you had your first meet, and you had to have a lineup established. And normally we'd play an 8-game pro set, and everybody would play everybody, and we'd fall into our lineup. And this year it was like, oh, girls, you better come to play because we're going to play 2 out of 3 super tiebreakers to decide where you land. So here we go, because we only had 3 days to put that together. I don't know what we would have done if it had rained.
That's interesting. You've been doing this for such a long time, and you've had so many good players. Talk about deciding, of course, I would imagine they decided themselves who's 1, 2, 3, or 4, but talk about that decision sometimes. I would imagine it's a little more difficult when you get down to 4, 5, 6.
You know what? I've done this the same way for years, how I run my challenges. And by always using the same set of rules, it's fair for everybody. And it all comes down to who wins. you can rotate 1 to 2 spots above when you make a challenge. So you can challenge on your own. So it's not the coach saying you got to play number 4. You decide your own destiny. Now, initially, I line all those challenges up and everybody plays everybody, and then we're in our pecking order. But once we're in the pecking order, that's by state rules, then they can make their own challenges any day they want. If you win, you get another shot at playing somebody else. If you lose, you got to wait a day before you can challenge. So they can challenge and set their own destiny, which I really love about tennis. They make their own decisions.
Let's run down the girls for our listeners. 1 through 6, who do you got?
I've got Elizabeth Grinnell at number 1, and then I have Kenley Seaweed at 2, and then I have Maddie Rowden at 3. At 4 is Kirsten Bigson, and at 5 is Josie Serp, and at 6 is Sammy Manikowski.
So now, of course, you play 3 doubles as well, but I notice there's a girl who sneaks in and just plays doubles. Is that right or wrong?
Not this year.
Okay.
Many years that does happen because singles and doubles are different bears, so to say. And some people are really good doubles players and some people aren't. I know my brother, when he coached at Comanche, he had a number 2 girl that he was always playing down at 3, and he'd go, I know you think I'm stacking, sis, but I'm not. And after I watched her play, I went, nope, you're not. She knows how to play singles really well. She doesn't know how to play doubles at all. So I get it. So it does happen.
So you're undefeated. Talk about, I mean, the big win over PV. Bettendorf got pushed to Monday. Are they going to be good?
Yeah, they'll be a decent team. You know, Scott is just really good to me and gives me girls who love to battle and love to fight. And, you know, they went through and they won at Waterloo at that Invitational. And then we got to go to a 10-team invite at Assumption, and they won that. And then we had the Clinton one, and they got that. So I'm just feeling really good about it. And when they took out PV, I had told them beforehand. I said, we're either 1 or they're number 1. So do what you need to do, girls. And they took care of business.
So do you play everybody in the conference then? And is there a conference tournament as well?
Yeah, the conference tournament is next week on Wednesday and Thursday. We'll have a seedings meeting on Sunday night, and then we'll go battle that.
That at North Scott again?
That's at North Scott. Yep, Muscatine's hosting, but they'll host it at North Scott because there's 12 courts there.
So talk a little bit about the tournament. When you get to postseason, I would imagine there still team tennis? Is there still singles and doubles individual?
Yeah, there'll be an individual regional where the kids, you can send 2 in singles and 2 sets of doubles.
Right.
And then we have team play after that. So
is that out yet at all? Or
none of that is out yet. All sitting and waiting. I made a phone call to see if I could get a little information early because you got to plan ahead and lock some courts in and go indoors if rain comes and whatever. But I got shot down on that and said, well, I think maybe, but maybe not. So I went, okay, it was worth a shot.
So you started in early August. Is this going to be the same length season as the spring, or is it a little going to be somewhat?
We're short 3 weeks from what we used to be. And I'm sure a part of why they did that was so that we weren't hitting like regionals for volleyball or for cross country and other things, band contests going on and things like that. They'd get us taken care of and out of the way early, I'm sure.
Was so
part of their plan.
We get to spring of 2026. What are you going to be doing?
I'll be watching the boys play.
Are you going to help them at all?
Oh, always happy to help wherever you can have a hand. And
how tough is it going to be not to have spring tennis?
It's going to seem really weird. I'm just going to tell you.
I would think so.
Because I think that people will get used to this fall tennis, but it's going to take them a little while, a couple years down the road. I think we'll be okay with fall tennis. I'm a bit worried about numbers across the state because the numbers are all down when they made that shift, and they've got 23 new coaches, so there's some issues there. But, 2-3 years down the road, people will get used to it. It's just hard because you can't get your hands on kids. Like, I have 4 kids that signed up, like, a week ago when school started because you have no way of getting them prior to that, and they don't know about it, so then you put it out and then they come in.
Yeah, I can see
so
where
we
that
got them up
be.
And running.
Yeah. Hey, thank you so much. We'll get to you a couple more times before the season ends. When does everything end? I mean, is it Early October or late?
Second week of October.
Okay, yeah. Early October then.
And thank you for doing all this for everybody.
Oh, no problem.
Gary, you do a fantastic job at KROS. I love listening to you in the morning.
Well, I appreciate that. Thank you so much. Back with more on the River City Sports Review. Winkle, Parker, and Foster, their firm provides outstanding service to their clients because of their dedication to the three underlying principles of professionalism, responsiveness, and quality. At Winkle, Parker, and Foster of Clinton, they provide financial planning, tax services for business and individuals, accounting services, and QuickBooks services. Winkle, Parker, and Foster, certified public accountants and consultants. They are located at 1301 19th Avenue Northwest, just off the Mill Creek Parkway in Clinton.
Seasons change, a page in the calendar gets turned, and we, as well as our parents, children, and friends, grow older. Unfortunately, the passing of time also brings higher prices. Hi, I'm Tina Lemke, owner of Lemke Funeral Homes. I would be honored to meet with you for a non-pressured discussion about your end-of-life wishes. A pre-planned funeral offers peace of mind, locks in today's prices, and ensures your final wishes are carried out. Contact Lemke Funeral Homes at 242-2626.
Welcome back, everyone, to Rastrelli's. We're not going to close with Bill Mischievitz, Kellen Schneeberger instead. Maybe I might talk to Eric, too, toward the end. He's going to be calling the game on Friday. Bill Mischievitz, who, of course, worked with the golf program. Jason McEwen is the head coach. He took him down to Assumption today. How'd it go?
Well, considering that there were four teams ranked in the top 20 at the event, and they finished, that's PV, North Scott, DeWitt, and Dubuque Senior. Bendorf was ranked. I don't know if they're ranked anymore. We came in eighth place. We tied for eighth place. We shot a 357, which I think that's 30 strokes better than the last time they went out. So I think Jason is pretty happy from what I'm seeing in our text messages. He's happy with the results.
So who's been playing well for the varsity?
Quite honestly, it's been one guy after another. We have just a couple kids just battling for that number one spot right now. We've got a couple kids from the JV into the mix as well. But right now it's Colin Thorpe and
now, how
Maverick Henzel.
How about Feddersen? I know he plays some tennis and
Tanner.
Yeah, plays a little baseball. And
well, we'll find out because yesterday he told me I'm quitting this game. And he's usually mentally he's one of the toughest kids on the team. He has a short memory and everything. And we were just having like a JV practice and. He just finished this incredible recovery shot, and he goes, I'm quitting. And I go, again? And I go, just go sink this putt, and you'll be okay. But he's going to be playing tomorrow. We have a JV match. We're going to be down at Red Hawk tomorrow, get the boys' feet wet. Red Hawk is a really easy course. The boys are going to be playing against Davenport Central. And I think Central has a decent JV team, from my understanding. So it should be beautiful weather, and the kids are really excited. I'm excited for them because they've been, playing against themselves, and the edge kind of goes off a little bit. But, we got a couple returning kids. It'll be fun.
You know, it's interesting, just visited with Cindy Rashing. Of course, they've now moved tennis from spring to fall.
Yeah, we've been talking about that.
And, of course, he's done such a tremendous job for so many years with that. And they shortened the season a little bit.
Three weeks.
Yeah, in the fall. Quite a bit, I guess, then. But, with golf, you're playing in the fall, the bigger schools are.
Mm-hmm.
So you've got all summer to hone your game, and then you get to play in the fall.
Well, that's the logic behind it, right?
That's the hope.
That's the logic and hope behind it. And so, there's a number of factors that play into this. It's like this year we had more kids playing golf, okay? However, we didn't have as many kids playing competitive golf and getting into these tournaments because, you get the heebie-jeebies when you're teeing it up against somebody different on a different course. A lot of our kids have only played in the, I would have to say only 80% of our kids have never played anything other than Valley Oaks and I don't know, some other, maybe another course Grandpa took them to. So it's not like these kids are playing as much as we want them to. Then the other thing too, and it's no fault of anything else, is like, you know, when I have basketball practice, I have a gym. I know I have a gym. I have 20 basketballs. I have 6 baskets. I have a facility. Well, now when you're competing for facilities, like we're competing out of Valley Oaks with league nights, you know, and regular patrons, and then a driving range, and then trying to get tee times, and all of a sudden the stroke practice kind of falls aside, you know what I mean? And so now if I have JV guys, you know, I can't get them to go hit a bucket of balls or, you know, just take them out and go, all right, let's work on your grip. You know, it's really, really hard. And we're not the only ones. I mean, there's, I was talking to Mitch over at Fulton. Some of those schools, you know, like you go to, if they play at Thompson, what is that, Sandburg?
Yeah.
There's no range over there.
No.
You know, so how are these guys warming up? And if that's your home course, what are you doing, you know? Yeah. And so you have to be innovative. You have to play games like 150 on end, meaning you just go to the 150 mark, drop a couple balls and try to work on it. Our chipping and putting, we're always working on chipping and putting. Go to the par three, work on your short, you know, games. And then hopefully somewhere, if we can squeeze in somewhere, we can work on our longer shots and drivers.
You guys, your invitational coming up pretty soon, don't you?
I think it's next week.
Yeah, that's what I thought. Okay.
Next week. And I think the weather is just going to be absolutely gorgeous. I think it's on Tuesday. Is it a Tuesday or Monday?
Maybe I can catch Jason next week.
I'll talk to him.
You bring your harmonica, he'll bring his guitar, and you guys can entertain.
Well, we have a little thing
I'm talking to the other coach.
With Billy Feaster. We have Billy Feaster, myself, and then Jason, we call it two bills and a buck.
Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Going to wrap it up with Kelly Steberger right after this.
Coming fast, are you and your car ready? At Tandem Tire, we've been keeping drivers safe for over 40 years. And this season, we've got you covered. From snow tires and tire rotations, battery checks, brake inspections, full service oil changes, we'll make sure your vehicle is winter ready. Plus, take advantage of special manufacturer rebates on select tires going on right now. Don't wait until the first snow. Stop in today at Tandem Tire. Call us or book online and drive in the winter with confidence. At Tandem Tire, we know tires, we know service, most importantly, we know you.
The Clinton County Area's Solid Waste Agency offers responsible options in handling solid waste items. CCASWA not only offers landfill services, but also food container recycling, appliance, tire, and electronic waste recycling, yard waste composting, and also hosts a regional collection center for household hazardous waste for Clinton County residents. For more information on the variety of services that CCASWA offers, call 563-243-4749 or visit CCASWA.com.
Welcome back. We're going to close talking a little cross country. One of my favorite sports. Had a chance to go out. I got there just as the girls were finishing, however, unfortunately, because, boy, 4, 5, 6 for the Queens, that's what you like to see.
Yeah. You know, we kind of knew coming in the season that we've got a really strong group of four, and then it would be who fills the five spots. So we went 4, 5, 6, 7, and all we needed to do is a little freshman girl to stay in front of a Davenport Central kid, and she's just tough as nails, and she did, and we won. And that's the first one that I've had where the teams won the meet, and the girls and the guys were all really excited. We talked about today at our team meeting, like, even if you're a JV boy, like, you help train. We're all training together, so they're all a part of it, and the kids were really responsive. And, you know, from last year to this year, 95% of our kids ran a better time, so we're turning in the right direction. But, yeah, you can't beat a group of four all next to each other in the top 10. So next week will be fun at Cedar Rapids. I was checking some of those times again, like our group of four should be in the top 15, and then we'll see. But a little bit bigger meet, a little bit, you know, I think Ankeny Centennial, Mount Vernon, Cedar Rapids School, so it'll be fun. I'm excited.
It was good to see, though, that many schools out there at the Erickson Center. I know it's not like the invitation the way it used to be, but still you have a good group of schools.
Yeah, 11 or 12, and, you know, those coaches are such great guys and girls. And, you know, I learned from Tony Smith early on, like, if you go to people's meets and, you know, you're a good competitor and you bring a good team and your program's good, then they'll come and reciprocate. And we've really built those relationships with those teams, so it really helps. And it gave us a great litmus test on the girls' side. Like, you know, as it stands right now, we haven't seen Muscatine, PV, and Davenport West. So out of those three, you know, Davenport West hasn't had a full team in a while. And then that just leaves us between, you know, PV and Muscatine as potential at the MAC in, you know, 6 weeks. So that's really exciting for us and for our younger boys, like another meet in a safe environment. So they got another experience in that. And had a bunch of time drops too, so you know things are moving well right now.
It was good, you know, to see from the area on the girls' side, Izzy Harden of Bacolod is such a quality runner.
Oh yeah, she's tough.
Ashlyn Appleby, sophomore at Central DeWitt, ran well. The Holman girl from Comanche, top 10. So that's good to see.
Yeah, you know, it's that really helps us out. And I know, you know, Corinne had and Allie had raced and beaten Appleby before, but with her running so strong yesterday, it really helped us. You know, those girls are like, all right, let's get going. But Izzy Harden, you know, Coach Borger and I were saying she is a dog. She is tough. So that really is really fun to have that on our course. That might have been our course record last night. So we do have that good competition. And like I said, that to have it at home and our second meet of the year, that really helps our kids take that next step forward from week one to week two. You hear that with football a lot too, but it's the same across. Like they get a little bit more acclimated.
That is such a great course. Unfortunately, the trees have gotten so much bigger now. You can't really see the run. You see when they first started running out there, you could see most of the race.
Yeah, it was so funny. Coach Jacobson, who graduated a couple of years behind me, and I were joking on the warm-up run. We're like, man, we remember you could see almost everything was your run, and there was certain parts that we're nowhere near as shady, and now it's just grown so much. But it's a fantastic course. Yeah. You know, we're just kind of limited by parking and space. But, you know, we'd love to host the MAC, obviously the MAC again, but districts, it would just have to line up with where we could put parking and things like that. So, Coach, Mr. Bear and I have talked about it, and, you know, we'll see what happens.
It is a great course. There's no doubt about that.
Yeah, you know, we go from our course to Cedar Rapids, which is just like a racetrack. So the kids like it for a different reason. But then we come back to North Scott, and they made a few changes on their course in Scott County Park. So it's a good little mix. And it's good, you know. And then we'll hit up Williamsburg, which is flat, and Solon, which is decently flat. And just a good way to race at a lot of places because, you know, the state, they're not going to really throw you too often on a hilly course outside of Crow Creek. So it just helps with the training and helps with the competition.
Talk a little bit about the boys' side, Colton Lorien led you.
Yeah, you know, and he was really disappointed in that. He's a kid that had a breakthrough last year at Solon at districts. You know, he's two places away from qualifying for state, basically like 20 yards. And he was really frustrated about that. And obviously the game changes in 4A. But he's just not where he wants to be right now. You know, he had some things going on this summer that kind of pulled him in some different directions. But he's tightened it up as best he can. And, you know, we've talked about, hey, you know, let's buckle down here for basically two more months and then your career in cross country is over. But he has been a really good leader for the young guys, and he's really brought a positivity where we're cheering on everybody, so that's good. And then like CJ Estes has been a great leader for us too as a junior. You know, he's one of those guys that we're just waiting to break out. He's just he looks the part. He's built for it. It's just putting it all together.
Just a final question.
Yeah,
you guys practice out there at the Erickson
Center? Oh, yeah, 3 or 4 days a week. We love it. Yeah. Okay. So we'll do that. And then Wednesdays, like after a meet, we'll have our team meeting at CHS, and we'll go over how it went and what we can do better and things. And then Fridays we go in the morning at CHS so the kids can go and watch the football game and participate in all that. And then Saturdays we rotate around. So we'll go back up to Eagle Point Park, and there's this really nice gravel that runs parallel with Stockwell. We love it. We call it the goat run because a few years ago, Abby Struble got chased literally by a goat, but it's so hilly. The kids hate it, but it's so good for them. I was talking to Coach Olson. They go to Calamus, I think, has a really hilly course. I'm like, we just go out by Stockwell Lane. But, yeah, it helps. And then, you know, the Erickson Center, it's so good. It saves the legs. A lot of amenities real close. It's a seven-minute drive from school, and kids can get up there. So, you know, we're just in a really blessed position to have a facility like that.
Appreciate the time.
Thank you so much.
All right, back to wrap things up on the River City Sports Review.
Make waves with smart savings at First Gateway Credit Union. Open a 6-month CD and earn 3.85% APY, or a 12-month CD and earn 3.90% APY.
Stop in one of their 7 locations. Command, Clinton, DeWitt, Holden, Morrison's Drilling, or Prophetstown for more details. APY is annual percentage yield. Limited time offer. Rates subject to change without notice. $1,000 minimum deposit required. Other rates and terms available. Early withdrawal penalties apply. First Gateway Credit Union, federally insured by the NCUA. I want to thank all the coaches for stopping by. Certainly, Rastrelli's, what a great job they do of hosting this program. We got the NFL for you tomorrow. Dallas at Philadelphia. Our coverage begins at 6. Friday, Clinton hosts Davenport Central. Eric Schweitzer with the call. He's sitting right over there. We'll be able to listen to him on Friday night. Saturday, of course, Iowa State pregame coverage at 9 a.m. We'll have the Bears for you on Monday. They host Minnesota. Then, of course, we're right back here next Wednesday for another edition of the River City Sports Review. KROS Sports, produced by Paul Dymkowski, Gary Detterman, thanking you for listening. Good evening, everyone.
And that is tonight's KROS River City Sports Review Show, live from Rastrelli's, 238 Main Avenue. Join us next week as KROS Sports Director Gary Detterman interviews local coaches and student athletes about their sports program, what happened in last week's game, and what's up next for their teams. The River City Sports Review is brought to you by First Gateway Credit Union, with 7 convenient locations to serve you. The River City Sports Review has been a KROS Sports presentation.